NHPR News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and live from Studio D, this is the Socrates Exchange. It's a near universal part of parenting. Someone gives your child a piece of candy, but before they can devour it, mom or dad asks the question, "What do you say?" Obviously, the child is taught to say thanks as a way to express his or her gratitude for the gift being given. It's because of this that most of us equate gratitude with giving thanks. In fact, we're nearing a holiday where we're reminded to be grateful, called Thanksgiving. But what really is gratitude? Is it a feeling we're born with, or is it a learned habit? That child likes candy and feels happy that he has it, but is that gratitude? As adults, we thank a partner who makes us a surprise meal or a friend who does us a favor, but we also say it when the waiter serves us food and the bank teller hands us the correct change. Does each action really deserve a feeling of gratitude? The teller and waiter are doing a job that they're getting paid for, so do they really deserve a thank you? Do certain people have more or less gratitude than others? The poor who have less or the wealthy who have more, or certain cultures which practice giving thanks. Here's another example. If money drops out of your pocket and a stranger picks it up and returns it, we say thank you and maybe even feel grateful. But should we? Not returning the cash could be considered stealing. Should we always thank people for doing the right thing, like driving the speed limit or properly filing their taxes? Today, the Socrates Exchange is back, and the question we're asking, what is gratitude? Call in the number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. The Socrates Exchange is funded in part by the New Hampshire Humanities Council. We have a live audience before us today in our Studio D, including members from both Concord and Bow High Schools, as well as our philosopher today, Nick Smith. He's an associate professor of philosophy at UNH, advisor to the UNH Socrates Society, and project advisor to us here on the Socrates Exchange. And Nick, it's always really nice to see you. Welcome back.
Morning, Laura.
Well, and just before we get started, Nick, I want to remind our studio audience and our listeners that the Socrates Exchange is different from our regular exchange programs. This hour, it's not about asking a question, Nick giving an answer. We really want your thoughts on this question. What is gratitude? And then for you to stay with us for a couple minutes while we tease out the philosophical questions surrounding it. And Nick, give us some of those now, if you could, as we look at what is gratitude. What are some of the philosophical points that come up?
Yeah, the issue of what gratitude is has become something of a hot topic in the field of positive psychology, and I admit that it's a question that really messes with my mind pretty fundamentally, because I have so many things to be thankful for. I have a wonderful family. I have an incredible job. I have a lot of security in my job. I am healthy. I have so much to be thankful for, and yet on most days, in any given minute, I'm usually probably mildly annoyed about something or other, right? Like, I want to make something a little bit better, or I want to, right? Something is bothering me, and I'm not feeling it a lot of the time. I'm not feeling gratitude. And if gratitude is something you're supposed to be feeling, and if you're not feeling it, well, then you're not grateful. It's something that you just think it. What is it? Can it be repressive? And that if you're sort of have too much gratitude, you don't make your life any better because you sort of just like what you have, and it causes you to be static. It seems like it's a really rich notion that's fundamentally tied to our happiness and how we feel about the quality of our life, but there are very basic fundamental questions that we usually don't ask about it.
Well, great. And our number here in the Socrates Exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Now, last week, students at Sauhegan High School's Senior Ethics Seminar examined this question, Nick, of what is gratitude? Socrates Exchange Project Director Keith Shields visited Sauhegan. He brings us an excerpt now of those discussions.
Today we will be participating in a Socratic dialogue seeking to answer the question, what is gratitude? To initiate this discussion, I will propose a question. Is gratitude an impulse of emotion that we cannot control, or is it a product of rational thought and analysis?
I think that the only way that it can be kind of an impulse of emotion is if something happens to you that was unexpected. Like if you're expecting someone to give you a coffee because they said they were going to go get you one, then you are cognitively realizing that you should thank them. But if they just bring you it because you aren't expecting it and they're just trying to be a nice person, you might impulsively just be like, wow, that was really nice. I'm really thankful and I didn't realize I would be that thankful.
Just to respond to what you said, I think when you say like someone gives you coffee by surprise, people can kind of interpret an emotion as gratitude when really it's a different emotion. I feel like you're more happy that someone gave you the coffee, and you analyzed that happiness and came to the conclusion that you should be grateful and not you were grateful in the moment.
I would have looked at it differently. I would have said gratitude's an emotion we cannot control. It's not a cognitive realization, because true gratuity, you can't fake it. It's something that you feel inside. But we are taught as children to be grateful for everything we're given. So like we show the emotion, but we don't truly feel grateful for a lot of things that we show that we're grateful for.
That kind of tied into the other question, should we be grateful for a teller for giving us correct change? And I said yes, we should be grateful if anyone puts in effort for us. You know, anytime someone does something for us, even if it's their job, even if they really should be, we should still be grateful because it's effort they're putting in for us to, you know, better our lives.
That's interesting. I said the exact opposite. I thought it was the teller's moral obligation to return the correct amount of change, because if they gave you any less, it would be stealing. So I equated it to, like, are you grateful to a vending machine for giving you back the correct change? Like, not to equate people to machines, but in the fact that you're not thankful that they do what they're supposed to do. You know what I mean?
I agree, too. I think that we should be thankful for her honesty.
I think it's the kind of thing where, like, obviously they're going to do the right thing for us, but we should definitely, like, express our gratitude and say thank you, just as we would if it were something bigger. Because by, like, expressing your gratitude, you're spreading positive emotions. We talked about this when our school had like mental health week. Like, we all wrote gratitude letters to like someone who had made like a difference in our lives. And like, I think that that just like spreads positive emotion, and it helps build other people's self-esteem, because when you're thanking people for things, it's acknowledging the fact that even if they're doing something that they morally have to do, they're doing it the right way, or they're doing the right thing. And sometimes we don't get recognized for like the little things we do that make a big difference.
My question would be, if gratitude is a feeling, when you say something like thank you, or somebody does something for you, and even it's like a teller and they give you back the right change, is that just a way that it's just tradition in our culture to say thank you that we're taught, or is it really gratitude, or is it just politeness?
I think that our parents teach us to say thank you, but you really see like true gratitude in little kids, because, you know, say you bring them home something like after work and like they start jumping up and down, like that is true gratitude. That is an emotion that is embedded within us. So I think, yeah, we're taught to say thank you, but there's definitely a hidden emotion in there that comes out when you feel excitement or real gratitude, because, you know, that kid might give their parents a hug or a kiss or something, and that to me is true gratitude.
Conversations from Sauhegan High School's Senior Ethics Seminar, that piece produced by Socrates Exchange Project Director Keith Shields. By the way, if you want to hear the full conversation, you can go to the Socrates Exchange page at nhpr.org. And you can join us now by phone. The number on the Socrates Exchange, 1-800-892-6477. Nick Smith is my co-host this hour for the Socrates Exchange, and we have a live audience with us here in Studio D. Let's go to that audience now, and good morning. Thanks for coming out.
Oh, sorry. I thought I grabbed the mic. Hi, my name's Libby Green from Concord High. I thought the last point that was made by a student at Sauhegan High School was really interesting, about the child and the gratitude of the child, in that the child doesn't naturally necessarily feel the need to say thank you, but instead expresses gratitude in a different way. I think that thank you can sometimes be a restrictive form of expressing gratitude, because you have to be taught how to say it, whereas a child going and hugging their parents or like smiling and just being happy about it is really, happiness is what they're feeling because they were given the candy or what have you. And the way they express that happiness is perhaps the way they express gratitude.
Good. Can you say a little more about just what you're having a sense of there, sort of this real true gratitude, and then there's sort of more of the courtesy saying thank you that's sort of, you know, in a way beaten into us and sort of loses its authenticity. Can you say what exactly for you is sort of real gratitude? The child seems to be the example for you. What are they doing that makes it the real version, authentic version of gratitude?
I guess the appreciation of anything that it doesn't necessarily have to be grateful for something that's unexpected. Going back to the bank teller thing, like, you expect the bank teller to give you the correct change back, but you thank them because you still appreciate the act that they did, because they could have just as easily not given you the change back, despite the fact that it's immoral and stealing. They just could have not done it.
Excellent. So that you could say thank you, you're saying, without really genuinely feeling the emotion of appreciation. Mm-hmm. So it's the emotion is the important part
for
you?
Yeah, I think that we say thank you. You say thank you no matter how much gratitude you're feeling. Like, sure, you're glad that the bank teller gave you the change back, I guess. But if someone came up to you on the street and said, here's $20, I found it on the ground, I'm not taking it, but you can have it. Like, that's something we might feel more gratitude for, because it's something that isn't necessarily, they didn't necessarily have to do it.
Good. So for you, it's that something, some emotion welling up in you that you're feeling is what gratitude is really about. And all the other sort of social courtesies and the way we train our children to say it just to be polite, that's some kind of inauthentic?
Well, it's not necessarily inauthentic, but I think it's a response that we use no matter how much gratitude we're feeling.
Do you think it's like we're lying in some way if we say thank you, even though, like, say someone gives you a gift and you're really like, ooh, that's like, I really don't want that. But you say thank you anyways. Is that lying? Is there something wrong with that? Are we doing something?
You appreciate the thought that's behind giving you a gift that it's.
Why don't you say that then? Yeah. Why don't we say I appreciate the thought, but.
Well, sometimes you do say that.
Do a little better
sometimes
next time.
I've said that.
Libby, thanks so much for coming out and for being first up here in the Socrates Exchange. Coming up after a short break, we'll get some more of our audience members and some more of your phone calls. The number here on the Socrates Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Nick, I'm going to go into the break by sharing a couple postings from the Socrates Exchange website at nhpr.org. Frank says, I feel gratitude is the recognition that we all need each other. Bill says, unfortunately, the word gratitude seems to have been replaced by entitlement in the United States culture. More of your thoughts after a short break. You can keep calling at 1-800-892-6477. More Socrates Exchange coming up.
Morning, it's 9:19. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and support also comes to us from S&W Sports in Concord, a full-service bicycle, ski, and snowboard shop with gift-giving ideas for the entire family, including ski and snowboard packages, online at swsports.net. From Antioch University, New England in Keene, offering 7 different master's and doctoral programs in environmental studies, information at antiochne.edu. And Capital Center for the Arts in Concord presenting Jigu, Thunder Drums of China, Drummers Blended with Musical Elements, and a Special Effects Light Show, November 21st, ccanh.com. More on the Socrates Exchange and what is gratitude on NHPR, then at 10 on the Diane Rehm Show, a look at anxiety disorders. New Hampshire weather today, partly to mostly sunny statewide, breezy in the North Country, highs today upper 30s north, lower 50s in the south. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, it's our Socrates Exchange, where once a month we examine one question using the Socratic method of asking more questions. And this month, we're asking, what is gratitude? My co-host for the hour is Nick Smith, Associate Professor of Philosophy at UNH and an advisor to us here on the Socrates Exchange. You can join us 1-800-892-6477. We also have a live audience with us in Studio D, students from Concord and Bow High Schools, and we invite their comments. And Nick, let's go right back to our audience right now. Thanks for coming out this morning.
Hi, my name is Cadence. I'm from Concord High. A point I'd just like to make is sometimes I think human beings also associate a feeling of gratitude with something negative that in turn impacts them in a way that's almost positive, such as when something negative happens to you, but you use it as almost a force in your life to make you a stronger person as an individual. I think that that's a form of gratitude that's more like a realization as opposed to saying thank you, which is almost like a reflex that we are brought up and our parents teach us and society teaches us. But I think the emotion of gratitude is something that we're born to feel.
Excellent. There's a lot here, and let's take a minute to get underneath. When you say it's like something bad happens to you, and you come to be grateful for it, which seems totally counterintuitive, right? Why would I be grateful for something awful happening to me, right? Like you get in a car accident or something, and that causes you to change your life or something like that. And there's some worry with gratitude that we use it so loosely that we're thankful, we have gratitude for everything. Like, oh, it's sunny. Thank God, right? Oh, it's raining. Thank God, right? That it loses, we're so grateful for everything, we have no ability to distinguish. Do you think there are there some things we should be grateful for and not, or is it everything, we should be grateful just for everything in some almost sort of existential religious sense? Like, I'm just thankful for, you know, the worms in the ground and the sky and the air, and it's all good. Or does it require something good needs to come of it?
I think there's a certain amount of how a person views him or herself that comes into play, because some people spend a lot of time thinking about things that have happened to them, and that allows them to come to conclusions about this event, like a car accident changed me in this way and I'm glad that it happened, whereas some people maybe don't take the time to think about those things. And I don't know if it's fair to say they should think about them, but I think it is something that would make a person more grateful for the little things and the bigger things.
In that case, say someone hits you in a car accident, mm-hmm. and it causes you to change your life for the better. Do you think you should go and like thank that person? Like, I'm so glad you ran into me. You made my life better. Or are they still like, you really shouldn't have gratitude towards them. You instead should have sort of, you know, a kind of appreciation for yourself and how your life has unfolded.
I think going and thanking a person in that case, it is a little excessive. It's more just like a thought that should come across your mind every now and again, thinking back on events in your life, thinking on where you've been and where you are now, and comparing mentally. It's almost as if you can thank everything that's led you up to this moment, because you could be somewhere completely different had something else happened.
Good, which is actually historically, in religious context, the way we often thought of gratitude, right? I'm thankful for my life and everything that happens to me, which is like sort of this sort of inability to distinguish between good and bad, right? We tend to think we should be, on Thanksgiving, you don't say, oh, I'm so thankful I have a terminal illness, or I'm so thankful I got into a car accident. You say thankful for the good things. But when we take this other route, we worry that there's no ability to distinguish what we between good and bad, and it just becomes this general banality that we say about everything. Mm-hmm. Good.
Well, thanks for coming out today and coming to the microphone. And our phone number is 1-800-892-6477, or you can come to the microphone live here in Studio D, 1-800-892-6477. Nick, let's take a caller now. This is Tanya in Francistown. Hi, Tanya. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi there. It's funny. I have something that kind of goes along with what the speakers were just saying. I had an experience with cancer, and I felt as though many people, including books and, you know, people that I met along the way, really expected me to feel very grateful, you know, after, you know, I'd had cancer and I was going through it, and I was supposed to all of a sudden be so grateful for all the things in my life, and it had changed me, and now I appreciated the little things. And really,
Tanya, I think we're losing you. You still there? I think we lost her. Too bad. There's a thread there, though, that I think you can pick up on, Nick.
Yes, there. The sense that, you know, when bad things to happen to us, it's supposed to somehow heighten our appreciation for the preciousness of life, right? You have some awful thing happen, and people just expect you, or you often expect yourself, to somehow amplify your gratitude for everything. And it's not clear why that would be the case, right? Why do we require tragedies to quicken our appreciation for other things? It's not clear why we should actually do that instead of just being depressed. Oh, something terrible has happened to me. Life is awful, right? And I'm not grateful for that. Life is brutal and short, and that stinks.
Well, Tanya, I'm sorry your phone lost out on us there, but thank you very much for calling in. Again, the number on the Socrates Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Nick, let's go back to our audience. Thanks for being here. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Holly Stewart. I'm from Bow High School. And to take a step back, I kind of defined gratitude differently. I almost think that gratitude, true gratitude, cannot exist, and that perceived gratitude, whether expressed or merely felt, is a selfish response that helps one feel like they're not indebted to another, as well as subliminally encouraging that other person to act beneficially for another again.
Can you distinguish between, there's an important distinction you're making between gratitude and indebtedness.
Right.
Can you say what's the difference?
If someone, going back to the coffee example, if someone brings you coffee just because they feel like it, we say this response of thank you so that we don't feel like we owe them anything, as well as at the same time we're encouraging them to act kindly towards us again. I feel like everyone, when they express gratitude, is motivated by like self-furtherment or achievement or possessions.
Good. So in a way, is it that you're saying when I say thank you, it's almost like I'm taking myself off the hook for owing you something? So if you do something nice for me, if I just say thank you, then you don't have to do anything for me because I've, instead of doing something nice for you, I've said thank you. Is that
your... Yeah, absolutely. As well as like, I think when people say thank you, it's almost a self-assurance to the value of their character. They think if I express gratitude, that makes me a good person.
Good. So do you think it's better not to say thank you?
I think it's good not to say thank you if we don't truly feel it. But also, I think that true gratitude cannot exist.
And say,
always, we're motivated by like possessions or achievement.
Good. So you think because is the claim that you're making that because we're so self-interested, the reason we say thank you, just like the child, right? The child is trained to say thank you when she gets a piece of candy because it wants to get another piece of candy, right? So we're conditioning people to say thank you in order to get along. Is that the claim? So that there's no such thing as real sort of say altruistic gratitude, that it's all a matter of just pretend?
Absolutely. I think that expressing thank you or even just like an act of kindness is so we can feel good about our own character.
So do you not expect people to say thank you to you when you do nice things for them?
I expect it, but I also understand at the same time that they're doing it so that they feel good about themselves. And I, who brought them the coffee, also know that I brought them the coffee so that I feel good about myself.
Do you feel like that view makes your relationships in a way feel more empty or hollow because you're all sort of mutually self-interested, sort of doing things for each other only because out of self-interest, and there's no real gratitude felt by anyone, that you're just kind of using each other?
Well, while it is cynical, I think that it helps you to understand relationships and human motivation better. And you expect different things out of those relationships because you understand why people are motivated.
Good. So for you, most occasions of gratitude are illusions.
True.
Wow. Thank you so much. Again, the number here on the Socrates Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. The question we're asking this hour, what is gratitude? Is it something we're born with, or does it have to be taught? If I'm told to say thank you for a gift I don't like, is that gratitude or is it lying? Could gratitude be unhealthy? For example, the person who is so grateful to have a romantic partner, he or she sets aside the fact that that partner is abusive. Let us know what you think. 1-800-892-6477. Lots of folks coming to the microphone, too, this morning from our live audience in Studio D. Thanks for coming up. Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Pete. First of all, I thought that was a really good challenge there. I don't want to say too much about the altruism question. I don't have as much to say about that, but I thought you made a really good point about what might be considered the function, the moral function of gratitude. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about that and then expand maybe on a better way to make use of that. I think the function that you assumed gratitude was supposed to fulfill is encouragement of moral behavior. And I think that's actually true. I think you're right. I think it's good that we sort of condition people into acting morally. And so I think that's a positive thing. But I think maybe there also might be a better way sometimes to express gratitude than saying thank you, or rather to fulfill that moral function. And sometimes I think it's just to enjoy whatever gift someone has given you. Say someone's given you a really nice birthday gift. And if you say thank you, they might not really understand how much gratitude you feel. Whereas sometimes if you just play that piano that they gave you, for instance, all the time, they're going to go, wow, that was such a great thing to do. And so I think sometimes there's a better way to fulfill the moral function of gratitude than just saying thank you or doing something else. I think a lot of times in our culture, we don't understand that. We think it's selfish if you just really enjoy something that someone gave you, but I think that can really be an important way to fulfill the gratitude function.
Can you say a little bit more about how you're arguing in a way that overusing thank you actually makes us less grateful for things, right? That saying thank you becomes a substitute.
Yes.
Say, can you? How exactly does that? I mean, do you think that actually by saying thank you, it actually makes you less likely to be genuinely grateful?
No, I don't think there's a necessary connection there. But I think what can happen is people become desensitized to what thank you really means, and sometimes seeing the enjoyment that someone takes can fulfill that better.
And do you think, say, we're more desensitized sort of today in 2010 than we have been historically, right? Right, that we're more like sort of spoiled, you know, that notion of spoiled children, right? Sort of, we all know what that means. Are we? Does overusing thank you make us more like spoiled children, that we don't really appreciate things? And why is that, if that's right?
Well, that's a really hard question. I've only been alive for 23 years. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can comment intelligently about what it's mm-hmm. been like in the past. But I know in my own life, it's been important to understand that I need to really enjoy something that someone's given me in order to really feel gratitude for
it. And what if you don't like it? What if someone gives you something like, ooh, thanks, bud?
Well, I think Libby made a really good point in response to that, which is there is something else to appreciate there, which is someone's own care for you. So even if they're not very good at expressing it, a.k.a. they give you a bad gift that doesn't really suit you, you can still really feel gratitude for them.
What if the gift is one of those gifts where it's like, whatever, a gift card to a store that, like, you would never set foot in, and you're like, this is not very thoughtful.
You might start to question whether they really do care very much about you.
And do you think it's appropriate to express ingratitude in some of those cases? Right? If someone gives you a really not-so-good gift, to say, this is sort of not thoughtful, I express ingratitude, right? Are there occasions to express ingratitude when people give you bad gifts?
I don't know. That might be – I think it's kind of extreme to say – I mean, if they went out of their way to give you a gift card, that's something, right? I mean, if they did try to give you something, I don't know.
Well, and this relates kind of to a posting that we have on our website from Mrs. Frost. She says her Socrates Cafe students are struggling with the distinction between gratitude and courtesy, that common courtesy that at least you acknowledge something, even if you're not especially grateful for it. Our number here on the Socrates Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. And Nick Smith, let's take a call. Chris is calling from Falls Church, Virginia. Hi, Chris. Go ahead. You're on the air. I guess Chris is not on the air with us. Thanks for coming out, by the way, that last audience member. We have lots of other people who want to jump in, and you can call at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Up next is Phil in Hanover. Hi, Phil, you're on the air. Welcome. Phil in Hanover, are you with us? All right, let's go to Julia in Nottingham, if we could. Julia, are you there with us? Good morning.
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Julia. Go ahead.
Well, I have a question about the nature of gratitude. I'm wondering if you need to be grateful to somebody. I know that gratitude can be a very personal feeling, and I think it leads you to, if there isn't someone there that you can easily identify to be grateful for, if it doesn't sort of lead you to be grateful to just the universe, or to, you know, seek out like a spiritual sort of thing to be grateful for. And, you know, if gratitude needs somebody else there to be grateful to.
Good. That's a good question. Let's go at it from this direction. What do you think deserves your gratitude? What do you think you should be grateful for? What sorts of things?
I think if someone goes beyond what they normally would for you, or if you were sick and get better, if you have things in your life that you appreciate and love you back.
And how many of those things can you attribute responsibility to a person, right? The first one clearly is, someone sort of goes beyond the call of duty for you, you're grateful to them. Or if, say, you know, you're sick and some healthcare provider, you know, brings you to health, you can be grateful to them. Do you think it's kind of, do you think it requires a person, or is it some kind of weird anthropomorphizing to say that I'm grateful to the universe?
I think that if there isn't somebody right there that you're immediately grateful to for, you know, your parents giving you a gift in the earlier example, or a doctor healing you, that, you know, if you're just grateful for friends or if you're grateful for a good family, I'm just wondering if that doesn't lead people to feel like, well, who gave me this? You know, what's responsible?
Do you think it makes sense to be grateful to God if you're a believer?
If you're a believer, yes. But I'm almost thinking it's, you know, people need that identity to hook their gratefulness to.
Well, God makes it, right, some sort of some place to hook gratitude for all things, right? You can be grateful to, you know, to worms and sunshine, and right, you contribute all that to God. But if you're an atheist, it seems a bit harder to find someone to be grateful for, unless you want to actually, right, be grateful to the worms and grateful to the sun.
Right. Well, I think that people, even atheists, have, you know, they wonder about the nature of the world and what's responsible for their life outside themselves.
Good. That let's just take 1 second to think about that word responsibility. Right? Seems to be central in this. Right. Mm. In that, right, you only, it's sounding like you think that you can only be grateful to someone who you can attribute responsibility and, right, you can praise them for doing something nice to you. If there's no one you can attribute responsibility to, then you can't.
I think you can still feel gratitude, definitely. But for myself, I guess, you know, it always leads me down that path to, you know, wonder what, you know, what's responsible for all of this and, you know, just the bigger questions, I guess.
Good. And just notice how for much of human history, right, it would have been easy to be grateful just to God, right? And now, you know, as the questions for many of us become godless, the sort of proper role of gratitude becomes much more complicated.
Julia, thanks a lot for being on the Socrates Exchange with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Again, our number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. The Socrates Exchange will be right back. We'll come back and ponder more of the question, what is gratitude? And we'll hear more from the students at Sauhegan High School, as well as the students with us in the audience from Concord and Bow High School. So keep it right here.
Mouth, understanding the often arcane technical terminology of economics. An economics editor walks us through deflation, quantitative easing, and other mind-numbing but important terms. Plus, why retailers are going to make it more difficult to return that unwanted holiday gift. I'm Virginia Prescott. Plenty of good stuff you won't want to take back on Word of Mouth. Today at noon on NHPR.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and support also comes from Checkmate Payroll, an independent local alternative for payroll services, providing innovative custom solutions for New Hampshire employers. Checkmate-payroll.com. And the Colonial Theater in Keene presenting Natalie McMaster on December 4th and a Rockapella Holiday on December 17th. Tickets and information at thecolonial.org. It's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, it's the Socrates Exchange, and this month we're pondering the question, what is gratitude? Let's get your thoughts on this question, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. We're also hearing this hour from an audience of students from Concord and Bow High Schools. They're with us here live in Studio D, and we invite their comments too. Nick Smith is my co-host for the hour. He's an associate professor of philosophy at UNH and an advisor to the Socratic Society at UNH. We're going to go back now, Nick, for just a moment to Sauhegan High School and hear more discussions on this topic from the Senior Ethics Seminar.
Do you think that people that are less fortunate understand gratitude better than people that are better off or wealthy?
I think that if you have less, almost everything that you have's value kind of goes up, you know, because you have less. The more you have, I think that, you know, the value of everything you have, if you're talking materialism, definitely goes down the more you have. So I think less fortunate people definitely appreciate each thing they have a little bit more because it means more to them.
I 100% agree with that. That's kind of where I derive my personal definition of gratitude from, is when we receive something that we know other people don't have the gift of receiving. I believe that when it becomes normal for it to happen, like, say our parents cooked us a home-cooked meal every night, we'd become less and less grateful for it because it's a normal thing, and we get the idea that everyone gets it type thing.
There is another side of that, though. I think it's a really gross generalization to call everyone of a wealthy status in that kind of an area. If you think about it, wealthy people have everything, and maybe something that they don't have is an actual family connection. Maybe they don't have really close people in their lives because people treat them because they have money. I feel that if I was in that situation, if I had quite a bit of money and I thought the only friends I had were because of my money, I would feel so grateful for any true friend I might have. Gratitude isn't necessarily only for materialistic objects, it's also for the people in your life. You can be grateful for anything in the entire world. So wealth is not necessarily directly related to gratitude, because you can still show some real gratitude even if you have everything in the world that money can buy.
I want to say that I almost feel dishonest when I say thank you for something that I honestly don't feel gratitude for, because it's like, if I look at it from a reverse perspective, if I got somebody a gift that they didn't like, I'd like it more if they just told me they didn't like the gift, and that, so I'd learn from it more. I'd learn more about the person, rather than if they were just dishonest and straight up said, like, thank you, and acted all emotional. It's like, it's dishonest, and I want to hear what other people think about that.
Even if you were to be straightforward, you would still feel gratitude because the person, like, spent time on you. And if someone spends time on you, you know that they must appreciate you. So even if you want them to say if they don't like the gift or not, I feel that gratitude would be present because of the feeling between each other.
I think the fact that we're asking whether or not we should be grateful for a gift that we might not necessarily like just shows how relative it is. Gratitude is for different cultures, because someone that's without necessities would have gratitude for absolutely any gift, and it wouldn't even be a question of that. So that just shows that what you're given during your formative years can really change, like, how you feel gratitude, because a child given every desire, and if they're pampered from a young age, isn't going to have gratitude for something like clean water, which other children might have huge amounts of gratitude for.
I think we can be compassionate and understanding of the people that don't have it, but I don't necessarily think we have to be grateful for the things that we have that are like that. We can feel compassion for people that don't have as much as we do or that are as privileged as we are, but we don't need to feel gratitude just because we have them and they don't.
All right. Good job, guys.
Conversations from Sauhegan High School's Senior Ethics Seminar, produced by Socrates Exchange Project Director Keith Shields. To hear the complete discussion, go to the Socrates Exchange page at nhpr.org. Nick Smith is our philosopher this hour. You can join us by phone as we ponder, what is gratitude? The number 1-800-892-6477. We also have a live audience with us here in Studio D, and let's go back to that audience. Nick, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. My name's Connor. I'm from Concord High School. And I just want to state, first of all, that one of the words that keeps coming up as we go along in this conversation is that the word thank you is somehow distinguished from gratitude. But I think that thank you and gratitude kind of go hand in hand, but it's just in a way of expressing it. Like, you can say, like, thank you, or you can say, oh, thank you, or but it's just in how you express it. I think gratitude is just kind of showing that you appreciate and acknowledge the service that has been courteously provided to you, even though the person who's providing that service has gone out of their way to provide it, even though that they didn't have to do it. Like, if someone off the street just gave me a hug, it'd be like, oh, I wouldn't just stay there and go, like, oh, like, thank you. I'd go give them a hug, because that's something that they didn't have to do, but they did it anyway because they're happy.
Does it make a difference to you if it sounds like it makes a difference to you if you pay someone to provide a service, right? So if someone makes you a sandwich, like, if, you know, if a friend makes you a sandwich, right, and a really good sandwich, and so it sounds like you give them a big hug, like, you know, money would not say thank you, but you give them a big hug to express your gratitude. But if you go to, right, a store and someone makes you a really good sandwich and you pay them $5 for it, would that influence how much gratitude you felt, right? Would you feel less grateful for the person who, say, equally good sandwich, one person you're paying, one person is you're not paying. Would it change how you, the amount of gratitude you felt?
I don't know if it would change the amount of gratitude, and I'm not saying that payment would be a form of gratitude, because either way that they're providing it in their time, even though that if they're getting paid anyway as a salary, they're still making it, even though they could, they don't have to. And the fact that they provide it at their expense of time and energy is kind of a...
So it wouldn't change how you felt at all?
No.
You think so whether someone is whatever they're doing for you, you should experience the same amount of gratitude whether someone is just freely giving it to you out of the sort of generosity of their heart, same amount of gratitude than if someone is doing it even though they may totally not like making you sandwiches and they can't wait to get out of work and they really just want to go home and they really don't care about you, they're just making you a sandwich. You would feel the same amount of gratitude in both cases?
Yeah. And I don't know why, but I think if you show that sense of gratitude, then I don't know if this would be true, but I would think that they would have some sort of feeling that of self-accomplishment, like, oh, this person, even though that I wasn't being very nice or ambitious, that I gave them a sandwich and they acknowledged that, and I think that they would have some sort of good feeling inside that even though that you didn't have to say thank you at all or show your gratitude. But you did it anyway.
Good. This is important. It relates back to what someone said earlier about sort of spreading the positive energy, right? And that sort of what you're, if you're really, really expressing gratitude, even to someone who may not really care, that somehow you're going to make them more happy and appreciative. Just unpack for me for a second. What's the relationship between gratitude and happiness then, right? All these studies now are telling us that the more you feel gratitude, the happier you're going to be. Any idea what the relationship? Why do you think that expressing gratitude is all of a sudden going to make someone feel better and have more positive energy and be happier?
Well, because gratitude, I think, is just a way of, and I hate using the word thank you, but I think it's just a way of showing that it's an, you caught me there. Happiness, when you're conveying that in a form of gratitude, is just kind of sending a signal back that, oh, that is a very nice thing that you've done for me, and I want you to know that. Mm-hmm. But I think by you're saying that gratitude is also kind of an emotion or an adjective, like, oh, that person's grateful, but they're also happy. But anybody can be happy, but not everyone's, like, could be grateful.
Mm-hmm. Good. It seems like there's some relationship between appreciation, gratitude,
keep back to
happiness.
That. Yeah, happiness, right? Gratefulness, and so forth. Thank you very much for standing up to the microphone. And let's take another one from our audience here in Studio D this morning. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Hi, my name's Emily. I'm from Concord. We've talked a lot about gratefulness towards others and appreciating what people will do for us when they care about us. But I wanted to just say that there is also a really personal aspect to gratefulness. Like, if you're healthy, like in the caller was talking about, you know, do you feel grateful to God for the fact that you haven't gotten very sick? But, and, you know, if you're an atheist, who do you relate the gratefulness to? Does gratefulness need to be something you have to feel towards other, or can you just feel grateful, period, or, you know, grateful to yourself or taking care of yourself and, you know, making sure you don't get sick so you can, you know, take care of your family or, you know, continue with what you're doing every day?
Good. Let's think a little bit about what we call the dark side of gratitude in this regard, right? Because if you're just grateful to everyone, let's say you're grateful to your God and you're grateful for everything. So even if you're, you know, you're ill or you're healthy, you're grateful either way. Do you worry that that might be potentially dangerous and that would make us complacent, right? That we're so thankful for everything that we have that we think everything is so wonderful and awesome. We appreciate everything so much that we don't try to change or make things better.
Right, yeah, it's a little bit almost unrealistic to always relate your gratefulness to somebody else or something else, because you have to realize that if you're grateful for, you know, what you do for yourself, that's something. You have to understand that it's not always something that somebody's doing for you, something you're doing for yourself.
And is there any worry, because there's a bit of a tension here, right? Because if you're really appreciative and really grateful, that also means that you might not be so critical. Right. There's a sort of, you know, the opposite of gratitude is in some way like I'm critical of everything, and I think everything kind of stinks and everything should be better and I want everything to change to make it better. Do you worry at all that if you're too thankful to God or just generally thankful that we're going to sort of – our brains are going to fall out and we're not going to start – you know, we're going to stop trying to make things better and improve and we're not going to be critical and we're going to be kind of just, vacant
like
and just –
not aware of the negative things that are actually happening
in trying
life.
To change them, right? Because we appreciate everything so much, that everything is so wonderful that, boy, I'm so thankful that – let's just leave things the way they are, even in a world of sort of global poverty.
Oblivious to the changes that need to be made.
Is there any danger of that, that the gratitude can actually make us kind of worse and complacent?
Yeah, I think that definitely could be a reality, the fact that, you know, you're so grateful for everything you do have, you just kind of like close yourself off to the things that do need to be changed and do need to be brought to people's attention.
All right. And I'm grateful that so many of you have come out today. Thank you for being here. Let's take a phone call to Nick. Our number 1-800-892-6477. Up next is Sook in Amherst. Go ahead, Sook. You're on the air.
Yes. I thought about often about the thank you and the gratitude of this country. Since I come from a different country, the Asians very much, they don't express too verbally, but they thanking differently about the body language or their bow. And so I understand when I look at it, this country, it's many times, including my own husband, saying, oh, don't you want to say thank you what I did? Then I say back to him, said, well, I cooked, I cleaned the house and I laundry for you. Do you say thank you every time? He said, no. Then why you expect me to say thank you? So I think sometimes we are grown into the society, this country, and thank you all the time. Sometimes you don't meaning and say, I think it's I don't know how we can teach our children. We have to say thank you, gratitude, but yet not over, what they call it, expressed. Like earlier, they talking about what do you do if you don't like the gifts they give it to, and what can you say still thank you? I think still we have to say thank you because it doesn't matter what. You don't like the gifts, but they still give it to you. But sometimes overuse. I had been living in this country 30 years. I, by myself, doing the say thank you, I said, oh, no, I shouldn't say thank you.
Well, so hold on the line with us. Yeah, hold on the line with us.
We keep coming to this notion that thank you is overused and kind of getting watered down so much that it loses its meaning. So people say thank you for your business, and you hear people saying thank you all the time, and it's sort of like people saying I'm sorry all the time, and it's hollowed out of its meaning. What do you think are preferable ways to express appreciation and gratitude other than just saying those words that are in a way too easy? When you say thank you, it's kind of too...
Well, I think that's exactly what I had been listening to your show. What would you do? Like my country come from, they don't say thank you enough, express themselves enough, but yet we know that when you say thank you, it's a body language. Or, for example, like if your relationship is your friend or family, and you send to the little gifts, or when you're visiting, you bring something, or little things a different way we say. But it's difficult if you go to the bank tellers or the waiters and waitresses. And that's a different situation. So
Good.
I don't know what is the bound, but I feel like it's overuse, including myself, are you overuse? And I thought about what do we do? And then, for example, often Westerners who marry the Asian woman and saying, because you don't express yourself, you don't thank you enough. And that, for example, like my sister's husband saying that. And so to me, I don't know where is the boundaries there, you know? That's my expression. It's a different cultural, different way. And yet we know that somebody nice to me or somebody special, I show different gratitude, tell them, I don't always say thank you, but yet I send some flowers or I send a little card or different ways.
Good. It sounds to you like the difference for you is that the words thank you are in a way hollow and too easy, and instead of similar to when people say the words I'm sorry, or the words don't actually mean much, right? And in both cases, saying I'm sorry or saying I'm thank you, expressing gratitude, that it's the deeds and the actions that are more meaningful than the words. Is that fair?
Exactly. That's how I express myself, but that's what I thought.
Well, Sukh, it's good to hear from you because we have talked about how different cultures and different groups of people express gratitude, feel differently about gratitude. So thank you for calling. And Nick, I really mean this. I'm not overusing thank you when I say thank you for being here and for the work that you do with us on the Socrates Exchange. Thanks a lot for being here this morning.
Thank you, Laura.
And our next Socrates Exchange is December 10th. The question we'll ask is, why do we give gifts? Ed McGushin from St. Anselm College will be our philosopher. I want to let everyone know that the Socrates Exchange recently won a huge national award, the Helen and Martin Schwartz Prize, for outstanding work in the public humanities. Socrates Exchange Project Director Keith Shields went to New Mexico earlier this month to accept the award at the National Humanities Conference. Congratulations to Keith and to all the educators, students, and philosophers involved in this project. The Socrates Exchange is made possible in part by the New Hampshire Humanities Council. Thanks today to Mike Saffel, Steve Bothwick, Nathan Chervik, and Nick Wolos. Also to Andrew Perella, Becky Cates, and Anna Moskov. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. The producer is Will Roselip. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Carrie Feltner. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange executive producer and Socrates project director is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.